Blog Talk Radio.
Your will be done. Well, 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 yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, I thank the Most High. Yes, I do. Thank the Most High that we're back again, yes, indeed, for another episode, another very blessed episode, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Danny Meyer, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Again, so very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again. I thank the Most High for every ear. Yes, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. I welcome you all to the show. Well, without question, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has spoken to me. He said to me these words. He said to me that I have, for his cause, some very important things. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, as a duty unto him that I must do. He told me that because of what I must do for him, he said to me that I would accrue indeed some very powerful friends as well as enemies. He told me, my brothers and sisters, however, that in doing for him that what he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I am truly utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that throughout the entirety of the history of mankind, repetitively, again and again, since the dawn of human fall, have men sought to find solace, peace. So often, my brothers and sisters, even sought to, men have sought in their selfish ambition to enslave the minds of their brethren, exploit the minds of their brethren after greater and greater spiraling dimensions of depravity. Men refusing to accept the fact that in their selfish ambitions they have excluded or not considered in some way some greater truth of the Most High that must by all be a mutual agreement if there's to be the hope of peace. So often, my brothers and sisters, ruling authorities have proven again and again that they weren't concerned about the hope of peace. Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, the word for peace relates to the idea of seeking what in all things is true unto divine purpose, pure, complete, unto one choice. Men, compelled to deceive mankind, have spoken lies that have divided the conscience from men after a multitude of standards, contentious, multitude of standards, my brothers and sisters, bringing warfare, division, men saying that they have fought for their, what they call the way of life, and not discerning in so many ways that what they have sought to uphold, seeming wise unto men, was disgusting before Yah, far from the plan of peace that he declared from the beginning. There wouldn't be 45,000 denominations, 280 nations across this world, if men had truly understood the purpose for which Messiah did give his life. He did not give his life, my brothers and sisters, that this warfare and contention, the multitude of lies that have divided mankind, should continue to exist. In fact, my brothers and sisters, he never gave his life that these variant dimensions of unbelief, variant misopinion, should continue at all. If all had received the gospel, as they some say that the gospel has gone forth to all the nations, as if men had received that gospel. Were that true, my brothers and sisters? Were that statement true? Like scriptures talk about receiving the Holy Spirit, receiving fully the holy testimony. Messiah said, I make no request for those who are worldly. We need to talk about that. For those who receive the holy testimony. He said, make no request for the worldly, my brothers and sisters. He said, the spirit of truth, the worldly will not receive. You ever stop to consider the worldly, my brothers and sisters, are those who prefer the unrighteousness of men, prefer that men are kept in the darkness, that they are continually exploited by unrighteous standards. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything he declared. Paul mutually understood this word with the nations we see today and the multitude of their divisions. Realize, my brothers and sisters, they couldn't exist. The differences we see among men, the varying allegiances we see among men, wouldn't exist if all discerned, loved, and delighted in a pure and perfect word. Again, my brothers and sisters, purity and completion offers one choice. And only when men discern purely and completely, their obligation to seek a pure and perfect word, will there at last be peace and lasting peace. This is what Abraham was told, my brothers and sisters. He's told to walk after the Most High, seek after his perfect will, that it be a blessing to all nations, a reconciliation to all nations. Oh, if we could only all understand what it means when the scriptures talk about love your enemies. There are many, my brothers and sisters, that are enemies today against both Yah and men. Enemies against themselves, not even knowing it, for lack of knowledge. I know what the scriptures say is the desire of the Most High. It tells us that Yah does not desire the death of the wicked. How about the word for wicked is lawless? Those who are presently in ignorance. He does not desire the death of the wicked, but they should convert, turn, awaken, my brothers and sisters. How about to the way of righteousness? That they should turn from their evil, lawless, less than fully considered ways, that they might live. But scriptures say, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son to whoever believes in him. He didn't say all the varying standards of men. His only begotten Son. What does it really mean? It means the one whom he chose to teach, to be a light to the world. Did he say that others were also that light? That men could be reconciled after the designs of another? Not what is written, my brothers and sisters. The one called Shiloh. The one called the righteous one. The righteous one likened to the rising sun. You find scripture speaking of him in Isaiah 41 particular. One particular place. One who reveals the light the world would obscure. The one who casts aside all the darkness. Yeah, well, my brothers and sisters, if all the world had the expectation of one who would cast aside all the contentions that men have considered wise after the short-sightedness of their flesh, all, according to the prophecies, would know to seek beyond the misconceits of their rulers. I know a lot of people turn around and say, well, how can we see beyond our rulers? The brothers and sisters, scripture says the Holy Spirit teaches all things. If we knew and all understood that the leaders by no means are prepared for the coming of the Son of Man, men would have known to seek beyond the unrighteousness of the leaders, to discern, my brothers and sisters, the greater truth of the Most High that he reveals only to the most humble, diligent, elect soul. That in hearing him will respond wisely. So the scripture really means when it says it come to pass in the last days that all those who call upon the name of the Most High should be delivered. And it says, in Jerusalem shall be deliverance to the remnant whom the Most High has called. How about to the women who respond wisely to his call? No man imagines the way of the Most High, my brothers and my sisters. I can only tell you that I've heard, again, from politicians and pastors many times, that the kind of message that I speak is too pure. Wow. I can tell you a little bit more about that in a minute by somebody who once told me that, again, to realize that falling for the schemes of the system. Wow. Realizing that they had done so many years later. Not fully repented, but upon realizing that I was right after they were so avidly seduced. Seeing me some 10 years later after he told me that, grabbed a hold of me and wouldn't hold me and wouldn't let go. He was much ashamed of himself, and I believe he probably is to this day when I've seen it in his eyes. He couldn't hold steadfast. Well, like I said, I've heard both politicians and pastors tell me the message which I'm speaking is, they said, too pure. They said that the people can't use it. I still have to ask the question, my brothers and sisters, what is it that's in the heart of men that compels them to believe that a corruptly imperfect, tainted, adulterated testimony that does not give reverence to the decrees of the gospel to preach all things purely and completely? What makes any man believe that a compromised testimony after the designs of many, of a contentious many that can never agree with the will of one, what makes man feel it any time that such a testimony falling short of divine glory still yet gives glory unto him? What is it, my brothers and sisters, in the hearts of men that wants to be sedated by a compromise? In other words, choosing to believe a lie. I know in 2 Thessalonians, the scriptures tell us that those who believe lies are those who believe liars. How about pretenders? How about those who trust after the intrusions of the principalities? How about the princes and rulers of the earth after their false power? Forgetting that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. Forgetting that they must worship him who made heaven and earth rather than those who seek to corrupt it. Divide it according to their own miscreant misadministrations. I think about the idea, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures tell us in 2 Thessalonians, agreed with Matthew 24, that there will be a rise, and there has been, a rise of false prophets among your churches, presiding as if they were godly men, compelling men to worship after the ways of the wicked. Isaiah 14:5 says, the ways of the wicked is the scepter of your rulers. Compelling men to believe lies, compelling men to believe what divides the world after self-righteousness and still not the righteousness of Yah. Men having the word, the scriptures, but not seeking about faith, discerning that all must be judged after the will of one. Therefore, they seek to establish their own righteousness, dividing the people, hateful against the Shema, command of the Most High, my brothers and sisters. We all must seek the pure, perfect truth for the blessing of our brother. Forgetting, my brothers and sisters, again, that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. And no one enters the kingdom of Yah. No one shall stand in his holy place, but those who have, whose works are clean, whose designs and devices are clean after a pure heart and a pure understanding, whose righteousness, I didn't say was from men, but after the Holy One of our salvation. I would say to you, my brothers and sisters, that many other ways seem right unto men. But the end thereof is not life. There's no contradiction in the word of the Most High. And despite all the variant ideas seeming wise to men after the flesh, it is the word, the decree of the Most High as to what he has declared will bring forth peace. That is the only hope For it is that word, despite all the miscreant designs and misteachings of men, that will endure forever. Again, my brothers and sisters, and I said it last night, I said it again. Whoever teaches lies teaches men to worship devils. What does Scripture mean when it talks about overcoming the world? It means all the differences and contentions that are in it. Messiah said, my peace I give unto you. And that is the world give it. Be not afraid, I've overcome the world. What was he talking about? He said, the spirit of truth the world will not receive. Those who love the shallow-minded, short-sighted, selfishly ambitious designs of the variant rulers of this earth. Not respectful of what Messiah meant when he said, all power are the principles of heaven, the principles of the kingdom of the Most High, the principles that will bring forth peace to this world, he said, as a king had been given unto him. Therefore, all nations must be converted. There are those, my brothers and sisters, who despise that concept of being converted unto the way of Messiah, the way of the king, the way of Shiloh, the way of the lawgiver, because it means they must discern that so much of what men have trusted has not before the Most High been wise. Scripture says in his appearing, you will discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not. Scriptures tell us again and again that when Messiah appears, the false righteousness of all the rulers shall be discerned as treacherous. His word he will give them as dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow, Isaiah 41 says. He will expose all their unrighteousness. But brothers and sisters, if people dare to believe that the multitude of divisions we see in the world are the result of man walking according to the righteousness of Yah, Most High told me if anybody can believe such a thing, he cannot ever be a disciple disciplined unto his peace. Did you hear my brothers and sisters? These contentions, differences of opinion, unbelief that has divided the hearts of men are not the result of man having heard the gospel. And so everybody out here is amazing, my brothers and sisters. All these different denominations and nations out here, everybody says that what they have and what they preach is founded upon the Holy Word, founded upon what the Most High declared from the beginning, true to what the Most High declared is an eventuality and a blessing to all men. How is that possible? You have 45,000 divisions, my brothers and sisters. It means that somebody's lying. And the hope and the expectation of all those who have truly believed. Well, let's put it to you this way, my brothers and sisters. I find it amazing. Look around, you see. Everybody talking about the idea about the advent of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior, those who believe. When will he come? That oftentimes asking how he comes, they presume they already know. Sure, they already worship and praise him. There's 45,000 different divisions among them upon which men could not agree and still don't agree. I find that amazing. As if the faith in the Messiah, the Savior, incorporates all the differences of man. As if the Creator, what he declared from the beginning, has to agree with all the differences and deviations after which men have fallen. As if they all could be sanctions unto his name. So they don't agree. And all they do is misrepresent. Men still want to believe that they can just put what they think is the will of the Most High or the name of the Most High upon what they think is viable and believe the Most High will have to accept it. Scripture says, how can they call upon him whom they have not heard? How can they swear themselves over to him whom they have not heard? Somebody asked the question. I saw earlier today somebody put up the question. The question they put up in the title of the show was, does Yah love me? I would say, my brothers and sisters, Yah is love. What did I tell you? He said, I do not desire the death of the wicked, but that they return from their evil way and live. He didn't make man to be a habitation for an unclean spirit. The real question, my brothers and sisters, have men been diligent to discern what is necessary to truly love Yah. Did you hear what I said? I said to truly love Yah, to seek him, to love him with all their mind, heart, soul, and might. That none of the variant contentions and miscreant beliefs of man anymore pollute their minds and hearts to dissuade their thinking. Because as a man thinks, so is he. In other words, my brothers and sisters, whether or not that man's thought forms and thought patterns are agreed to with the Most High, decides, my brothers and sisters, the nature of his being. The word of Yah discerns the thoughts and intents of every heart. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, I find it amazing. Many have said to me that because my testimony, they say, is, some have said, is to me, is so pure, they've been led to believe somehow that the Most High accepts an impure testimony. For after the Holy Spirit, he intends his prophets to lie. I say, think again. Some even believe the Messiah gave his life. I repeat, they say it again and again. Messiah gave his life for my sins. Did he give his life for you to believe a lie? I tell you, my brothers and sisters, he does not desire the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their evil way and live, but he will not be patronized. He will not be dealt with contentiously. Woe to those who don't realize how so often in this society, men's predispositions and preorientations have compelled them to despise, hate, knee-jerk gut reaction, rebel when they hear the truth. But such is the nature of a liar and a lie. How many of my brothers and sisters, when they hear the truth, rather than rejecting it, be compelled immediately in seeing the reason of it all to receive it? I think about the scripture at Isaiah 50, Messiah speaking, saying, morning by morning, as the Most High caused my ears to hear the teaching, I've not turned back the rebellious way, that I should know how to declare a word to them who have become spiritually weary. He says, have I no power to deliver? He said, behold in my rebuke, behold in my word, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, by the testimony of my mouth, says the Most High. Shall he expose every illusion that men have trusted, that the hearts of men might be converted? Behold, in my rebuke, I dry up the seas. What it really means, brothers and sisters, is I show men beyond the foolish mindscapes of leaders who have felt nothing wrong that they would enslave minds. I dry up the rivers. I clothe the heavens with sackcloth. Come on, Isaiah 50. What it means, my brothers and sisters, it shows the rulers and their testimony, what they've called light, a thing to be put to shame. You need to read 50, 10 through 11 in the same chapter of Isaiah 50 and understand what that means. I clothe the heaven with darkness. I make sackcloth their covering. Put them to open shame. Humiliate them because they have not been true to the obligation of those who be called rulers. And the dereliction of duty discerned as treacherous, discerned as the children of darkness and not the children of light. For this reason we find Isaiah 50, 10 through 11 says, whoever is among you who walks in darkness and has no light, whoever is among you who will serve the Most High, Scripture says, let him trust in him who is called by the name. Yes, even the name of the Most High. And be saved by his Elohim. And the same one steps up to say to humanity, because peace must be. He said, if you walk after the sparks. Huh. I want you to think about it. Stars in the night seem bright, but they are pale, my brothers and sisters, upon the rising of the sun. The moon, which is only a reflection, has no light of its own. It only offers a reflection, a dim reflection at that, of a greater light. So much dimmer a light, it still leaves the world in darkness. You need to think about it. Pales for the greater light of the rising sun. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, scriptures say that Messiah will appear in his revelation of himself, will declare to whoever will choose to walk after the sparks, like the twinklings in the night, seeming light but still leaving people in the darkness. Whoever walks after the sparks that they have kindled, the imaginations of their own hearts. He said, this you will have in my hand. You will lie down in sorrow. Now that seems to those who seek to walk after or want to be found acceptable after the whims of their own hearts, that seems like a threat. Oh, I'd hate to say it, but there are many, I regret to say, my brothers and sisters, who upon hearing the word of the Most High, they choose to see it as a threat to their well-being. I would say to you, my brothers and sisters, whoever it is that sees the pure, perfect will of Yah to be a threat, my brothers and sisters, that very self-same one, whoever he is, wherever he is, however many they may be, the Most High sees as an obstacle against the peace that he would grant his people. My brothers and sisters, the Most High made heaven and earth, established in it a way after which men might cooperate, love, trust. And if every man knew he could trust his brother to seek what is the greater blessing of his brother, I know that humanity, my brothers and sisters, could be redeemed and finding no peace, transcending this worldliness. And you need to think about it. Most High desires the world be one. You ever stop? There's a devil that desires that in any way a multitude of contentions continue to be believed. I see scriptures that Daniel 2:44 says the Most High has every intention to establish a kingdom that will break in pieces, even dissolve all other kingdoms. How about allegiances to all other kingdoms? Messiah will come, and unto him every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. All who are incensed against him shall be ashamed. We'll establish a kingdom that will break in pieces, dissolve all other kingdoms, because all men shall finally discern that the ways that they thought were wise were in so many ways foolish. Like I said, when we talk about Messiah's appearing, have they asked the question, for what cause he appears? 45,000 denominations. Sounds like a multitude of misrepresentations to me. Sounds like a lot of folks are lying. In fact, it doesn't sound like it. I know it. All the prophecies relate, and quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, they declare again and again that all those who look to the appearing of the Savior, look to him because they expected that one day all the false rulers, all the pretentious false guides, all those who would compel men to worship deviation, devils, misconceits, making men proud even to defend the divisiveness wrought of the shallow-mindedness of their own hearts, They look to the coming of one called, we spoke about this many times in the show, Genesis 49:10, Shiloh. He has many titles, many glorious titles in the scripture. The scripture relates again and again that when this one who comes to reveal again peace appears, it says, unto him shall all the nations shall gather. Yes, it even relates synonymous with Isaiah 42, the isles shall wait for his law. Unto him shall all the nations seek, Isaiah 11. Well, why, my brothers and sisters, I need to ask you this question. If men do not discern the ways they presently walk after to be foolish, for a lot of people, you need to ask the question, why would they be in any way imposed upon to feel the need to change? You know, some people turn around and say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I can think of some things that I work with as personal tools. Hey, they say that there are things out there to work better, but hey, I know when I'm using it. I don't know how you can improve. So some people say that you can do a little better, but I question as to whether what people call improvement what they call improvement doesn't really matter if you can be assured that what you do precisely, quickly, swiftly, efficiently performs the task at hand. I just want something that works. Other folks might sit back and talk about the glory of a new one or something shiny. I want what works. That's what I'd be satisfied with. I mean, think about it, my brothers and sisters. I'll just give you an example. If a man has a rifle that he knows without question shoots straight and true, he has a pack of what? A cabinet with what, 50 in it? Just throwing something out there. And he has one shot, and he has a cabinet of 50 brand new ones. All of them loaded, all of them ready to work. If he has one shot to save his life or the life of someone he loves, I ask a question, my brothers and sisters. If he's had one that is tried and true, and he knows for sure it's going to meet the mark, no matter, no need for adjustment, no need to check balance. You know, as soon as it gets his hands, like an extension in his hands, like an extension of himself. Which one do you think, my brothers and sisters, he is most likely to grab? Well, Scripture talks about how in the last days Messiah comes, the tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Notice it said tried cornerstone, precious cornerstone, sure foundation, sure. He who believes in him should not make haste. Sounds of whatever might act as an adversary will be what is halted for those who trust. Well, all I can say, my brothers and sisters, when it comes right down to it, is the Most High has a plan by which he desires, without question, that his people be brought to understand together what is peace. I think about Romans 14. It says, think about it. As I said to you before, there are many who might presently be enemies. They might turn to be friends if they only understood the truth. Well, how about Romans 14? The scriptures talk about, bear the burdens of the weak, but not unto doubtful disputation. That certainly means not unto lawlessness. That certainly does not mean unto continual contentions. It certainly doesn't mean unto the preservation of lies or misconceits. It means, my brothers and sisters, amongst other things, that those who make a vow unto the Most High know that the only way they can be true to that vow is that they strive together with all that is in their minds, hearts, and souls to be true to that vow, because whoever will not be true to the Most High, who swears deceitfully, Scripture said, will not be counted blameless, meaning they will certainly be condemned. But my brothers and sisters, there are those who, hearing such a thing, find it a threat. No, my brothers and sisters, Most High declared from the beginning, which is the only way of peace, why should any man delight? After finding that something in his ways and his thinking is errant, delight in seeking to preserve the error, despising the reproof that the Most High as a gift would give, it's now been 10 years more, really put it together, that during the Feast of Tabernacles, I've talked to you before on this show about how many times I've, during the course of those feasts, I petitioned the Most High to let me feel, I said, to let me feel my people over the course of the ages, what they have endured. It's a blessed thing, my brother and sister, the Most High allows you that. The remembrance, the Scripture says, the Holy Spirit would bring, that we are brought to true remembrance, that across the ages with our people, that across the ages we might be one. Scripture says the Holy Spirit teaches all things and brings all things to remembrance. How about that we have a mutual sense of covenant, that when the time of blessing comes, we are all on the same page. But brothers and sisters, the Most High shows us the sense of reason far beyond the differences of the ages, and even the differences of, let's just say, men's territorial so-called premises. Most High reveals to us again what he has declared from the beginning. We almost must all be deliberated toward the same eventuality. Well, like I said, it's been 10 years ago, at least, maybe more. I believe now that I really sit back and consider it, it has been maybe a year or so more, in a month and a half or so from now, day having been Rosh Chodesh, the sixth Rosh Chodesh of the Hebrew year, that the Most High, during the course of a Feast of Tabernacles, my body might have been in that tabernacle during the course of that meditation. My body might have been there. But the Most High lifted up my spirit, and what I saw lifted first in the midst of the clouds into his presence. Beautiful, my brothers and sisters, beautiful to behold. I heard the Most High in the greatness of his love say, the greatest gift I can give is a law by which men can cooperate. I sensed it, my brothers and sisters. It's a law by which men might again, all reckoning what indeed is divine righteousness, may cooperate, having a mutual love and trust. And if you know that those, all those around you have the same love, my brothers and sisters, it's possible for us to all, again, trust one another to preserve what is necessary to preserve, my brothers and sisters, that which preserves beauty. I saw it, my brothers and sisters. Can't tell you about how many times I missed the third heaven. I've seen it. Every single mind wide open, no secrets. All knowing that all had a mutual love for one. No need for secrets one to another. In fact, my brothers and sisters, every single mind, every time
anyone acknowledged any truth. It was immediately they said their responsibility. It was obvious, being that I was as stupid as somebody there, just being real. I was amazed at the caliber of thought. And it was instant, my brothers and sisters, far beyond something you can do with words. It was immediate thought transmission. Relay a thousand thoughts in a matter of a split second, not slowed down by that's just how fast sound waves can get to somebody's ear and they can interpret what they heard. Not encumbered by that at all. In a matter of split seconds, a single two or three word phrase, one word sometimes, could be echoed and resonated through the minds of untold many. All processing that idea for the ad infinitum of all that is in it. And I immediately began to realize in the midst of that experience that my being the least oriented, let's just say completely unfamiliar there, realizing that nothing in this world could prepare me for, let's say, what's necessary to be true to the beauty of the presence, kingdom that I saw. Hey, I was one who just shut his mouth and listened. Quite frankly, that first occasion, it wasn't even a matter of asking any questions. I didn't even know what I should ask. But the beauty of what I heard and what I saw. Hey, like I said, my brothers and sisters, that I'm still thinking about it to this very day. Leaves me in awe. Every single mind, my brothers and sisters, perfect trust. Mine was far less than what you might call light in the presence of such as this. And the first thing that I could begin to be impressed upon in my mind is that if I was going to be there even for a moment, by no means should I be left without knowledge, because they want the light that they had there emanating from every single spirit to be as intensely bright as all their own, as it, that light, was the result of their constant contact with the One Most High. I've oftentimes thought back on it, and the first thing I remember calling it to those I sought to describe it after seeing it, I called it a neural network. That's what it came out to be. Came out to be how I chose to describe it. It's like every single neuron in the brain connected to a very powerful, if you want to call it, superconscious, which is the Most High. Every one of them connected. Every one of them doing everything necessary to preserve that perfect connection and only seeking in all in every way to be immersed in, absorbed by, one with, in every way, that greater conscience. But we all understand, knowing the magnitude of the mind of the Most High, the scripture says there's some things that no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father alone. But my brothers and sisters, the Most High has planned. And so much of that plan has he revealed to mankind. The question I ask is of those who hear that plan or begin to stumble upon to realize that plan, or to whom that plan is revealed, how many of my brothers and sisters, upon seeing it, would delight in it? I would dare to say, my brothers and sisters, whoever has opportunity to discern that plan for perfect peace, the Most High has revealed, whoever will not delight in it, I can only say, my brothers and sisters, is a child of a demon. Scripture talks about Messiah in the context of Malachi, second going into the third chapter. It talks about the Lord whom ye seek, in whom ye delight, behold, he shall come.
He talks about one who exposes the unrighteousness of the leaders. He talks about one who reveals the greater light, righteousness as of old. It'll all be brought to remembrance, pleasing to the Most High. Notice it says that remove the obstacle of those who false righteousness has been a detriment against men discerning that which in all things the Most High would be pleased. Our brothers and sisters, those who esteem what they think they know is wiser than what the Most High himself reveals have a lot of waking up to do. Like I said, the scriptures talk about we bear the burdens of the weak, but not under doubtful disputation. Certainly that to preserve what destroys the peace. We have to recognize that there's, the scripture says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Messiah gave his life to be Lord of both the dead and the living. All that's in the scripture. Well, the other scripture I told you in Ephesians 3, the other scriptures I just told you about, the Lord of both the dead and the living, and therefore one judge, and all must be persuaded alike. That's in Romans 14. Romans 15 goes on and says that whatever is written of old, all that is written of old is for our learning, that we through patience and faith in scriptures. How about mutual discipline? That through patience and faith in the scriptures, we might have hope. What do they call the scriptures? He said what was written of old. That all, my brothers and sisters, might be made like-minded. That's peace. All the nations obedient in word and deed. I know the nations sit back and say the gospel went forth to the Gentiles. And some even want to say that Gentile nations have been given authority to preach the gospel, as if the gospel came forth from the Gentile nations rather than the gospel coming forth from the faithful of Israel to the many. Yah is one, my brothers and sisters. I have to ask again, how is it possible that men should say the gospel went forth to the nations, that the nations have preached it, and they are still yet divided? The gospel is the will of one, my brothers and sisters, not the will of many. If the nations have received this gospel and been true to it, how about the world? If those who seek to preserve a multitude of diverse nations, principalities, political, national, social, and pseudo-religious differences. If the gospel has been received by them all, why do all these differences in the world still exist? Men presuming that what they have an allegiance to somehow is the wisdom. My brothers and sisters, as I've said before so many times, we have to understand. If there's a multitude of misrepresentations or a multitude of so-called representations in the earth that do not agree, we have a responsibility before the Most High to seek Him with all we have, that there be a preservation of a pure and perfect faith. If we see where anyone, anywhere, is misled, we must seek the truth. Let it be known that we have sought the absolute truth. That it won't be said that we were negligent, discerning strife and divisions among us, and unwilling that there be in our diligence to hope for healing. Did you not understand what brothers and sisters said? Go forth and teach all nations. What do you mean go forth and teach all nations? That they all must be diligent. All must be diligent unto an absolute truth. All are vowed seeking an absolute truth. That we transcend every other, allegiance? Every man of unbelief? Every man of fallen standard that has divided mankind? This morning, this very morning, Rosh Chodesh, Most High put a dream upon my heart. I often asked him to show me what had been the plight of our people, what they were diligent for, what was most important in their mind and heart. And quite frankly, as I told you before, the day comes when all will understand that in which we all should delight is in what casts aside every illusion, that only the truth continues to exist. And if we find that a personal threat, we need to ask ourselves, what is the nature of our heart? What scripture say for his sake we die every day? We must, what does the scripture say? Carnal mind is enmity against the law of Yah, seeks to exalt itself, seeks to preserve its own way. The scripture says if we walk according to the flesh, we will die. But if we subdue the flesh after the spirit, submit to the greater wisdom of Yah by the spirit, we shall live. That means, my brothers and sisters, that every lie that is part of our hearts that keep us from discerning what is pure and perfect, it's a disease, a deadly, damning disease from which we must be cured. We must overcome then, my brothers and sisters, every miscreant standard in this world has made men contentious. This morning, Most High gave me a dream. I'm thankful for it. Like I say, I often ask him to show me the plight of my people, the course of ages. In the dream, I can only tell you that many have been the times that pockets of our people scattered in diaspora. Desires for peace. I said desirous for peace. Have only just simply wanted a place in the earth in which they could indeed have peace. Well, I can only tell you when Jerusalem was destroyed and the people were scattered, it wasn't just that Jerusalem was destroyed. The minions of Rome that destroyed Jerusalem also took up citadel there. And others have also said, the scripture says, this, Jerusalem be trodden on the foot of the Gentiles to the time the Gentiles comes to an end. Meaning that though they might seek a return, if they sought return unto Jerusalem where they had been cast out to seek to preserve their very lives, were they to return, they might face certain death. I know in 2 Thessalonians, the scripture speaks about the same. The people asked when, basically in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the people were concerned about when would they be regathered, when would come the gathering together of the saints unto the Most High. Ultimately, returning unto Jerusalem, and Jerusalem governed in peace. That was their utmost concern. Scriptures again talk about Messiah coming to expose all the pretenders, all the false rulers. But they no longer have dominion. And reflective of Isaiah 11-14, finally the people of Yah shall have a homeland, a place that they can call peace, that they should dwell securely. No lie, no injustice. No one speaking with a deceitful tongue among them. Read Zephaniah 13. Beautiful, my brothers and sisters, the day when all these things shall surely occur. Well, the dream I had this morning, Most High brought it to mind and brought it to my attention, a remembrance of how often it's been. In this dream, I'll tell you, it was obviously many centuries, perhaps even thousands or more years back. But in the dream, there was a pocket. People I knew were definitely Hebrew. So was I. It was like I was a chieftain, a ruler, or one, a counselor to this people, responsible for their preservation, responsible as a counselor for the constancy and peace. And all the light is in that concept of peace. All they wanted was a place that they could reside in and have peace together as a loving and productive, cooperative people. That's all they wanted. And in the dream, I can say we found a place. Take time to describe it to you, but that might not be the main focus of all I want to talk about tonight. We found a place where we, apparently no one, at least the best we could see for the moment, might contend with our presence. And we thought for a moment we found a home. Well,
I can only tell you, brothers and sisters, a lot of things can destabilize what people call safety. You know, it's kind of an amazing thing. When you look around in the world today, can you really even tell me even one place on earth that is completely, in all things, in all ways, safe? Even one place? Is there a place on earth, my brothers and sisters, today that can say that it is safe from every and all enemies? You can tell me a place, my brothers and sisters, that has no enemies within it. Think about it. Can you tell me a place, my brothers and sisters, where someone could say that if they have residence there, they can sure be assured that they always, always have a safe and secure home? I don't know of a place like that that exists, my brothers and sisters. Hey, if not for men, natural disasters can quickly make what someone calls safe and secure a death trap. Hey, we can sit back and talk about things like this. I know the folks that have left California saying they want to leave the earthquakes and were willing to come to other parts of the country, get away from the earthquake, and they run into the hurricanes. Well, now they talk about hurricanes hitting places like California. People ought to realize something's up. Heaven help us. People ought to realize something's up. Well, at any rate, in the dream, it was brought to my attention that, you know, the Most High preserves that which walks true to Him. However, there are times the Most High might find a reason to move His people if something's coming that might not be so safe. Well, it was brought to my attention in the midst of, we were all happy together. Everybody there was happy together because, hey, we thought before time we found a place of peace. But apparently something was coming on the horizon. And first thing to make you aware that, you know, things might not be as copacetic if everybody wanted was it was like a type of worm that could attack and destroy the crops. Hey, something destroys your crops, or something takes away your water or whatever, hey, you have to move. It's not a place in which you can live. Then it was made aware, and think about it, through the course of ages it's been true. Men have fought as to who has the right to waterways, fought as to who has a right to the resources of the lands, fought whenever somebody has sit back and said that, hey, they see something on somebody else's land they want, if they feel like they can take it, they will. So often, men have established what they call territorial borders. And men feeling their territorial borders in any way threatened whenever there was offenses have simply sought to enlarge, if they could, their borders. But hey, you push further and further out and you just find other people who feel infringed upon. There's a reason, my brothers and sisters, Scripture talks about the appearance of the one called Shiloh. Him whom the Most High calls a lawgiver. Unto him shall all the people be regathered. To him all the nations seek. That all peoples, my brothers and sisters, brought to one trust, realizing what the Most High told Abraham. If they sought His perfect will, there would be peace. Think about it. In the resurrection, Abraham was going to be present. Abraham had more than just Yishak, Isaac, some call it, Ishmael. He had children, my brothers and sisters, by another. After the passing of Sarah. Madan, Medea. Other children, my brothers and sisters. Many might not think about this, but after Israel was in bondage for 400 years in Egypt, many of those that Israel fought against, seeking that promised land, were actually cousins, stepbrothers. Wow. You really think, my brothers and sisters, that Abraham desired that his children be so contentiously at war against one another. Who do you think is going to really be called the children of Abraham, to be called the inheritors? A lot of pretenders, my brothers and sisters, call themselves children of Abraham today. I don't see any of the doctrine of the so-called established religions that are called the Abrahamic today anywhere near close to perfect, according to all that is written. And those of you who have examined well my website, articles like Early Church Origin, Secret City Prophecies, HiddenGospel.com, Tribulation 70 to 365 A.D., Gospel of Shiloh, Remember the Promise. Remember we were told to seek the whole truth for the good of all, that we all might be converted after the will of one. Well, I don't see any of these institutions of man or brothers and sisters that have been true to that. In fact, the scripture says in the last days the Messiah appears, he will count them all treacherous and prove how they are. I know a lot of folks, like I say, talk about the idea that scripture says we must exceed the contentions of all our rulers. And the first thing they talk about is how can they exceed their rulers? Well, number one, you were told not to trust in them, and that means there must be a way that you can discern beyond them. But my brothers and sisters, I can tell you the heart that hears such truth. That blessing is, my brothers and sisters, only for the most humble soul that trusts when the Most High tells you something to do it. It must be believed. It must be something, my brothers and sisters, is not something somebody just keeps to himself. It's something he knows that if he keeps to himself, that some don't see the light. And the scriptures talk about those in the Most High anoints for a blessing. He told Ezekiel, you judge them, O Son of Man. In other words, show them what is righteous judgment. He says, if you teach them, they do not fail. He said, you've delivered your soul. But if not, their blood is on your hands, on your own head. Well, I knew, my brothers and sisters, when the Most High first told me that I had purpose unto him to declare the secret things. And at the time, I knew nothing. He made it real plain. I began to realize real quickly, I didn't know a doggone thing. Upon realizing I didn't know anything, when he told me I had to speak, and I was afraid to even begin to utter a single breath. Upon realizing I didn't know anything, I remember something almost seemed like a chuckle in the spirit. Like, okay, Most High said, now you realize you don't know anything, and you won't speak until you know with a certainty. He said, now that you realize you don't know anything, knowing that you have to speak, because I told you. He said, now that you realize you don't know anything, he said, now I can teach you. Yeah. I thank the Most High for what he's done ever since then. I truly do. Well, like I said, my brothers and sisters, the Most High desires that men awaken, that they no longer be contentious against one another, that they all have the same devotion unto the same ideal. That's his plan. I was talking to you about that dream where we thought for a time we were safe. There were those who were strangers to our ways, strangers to our desire for peace. We knew we were vastly, vastly outnumbered. Looked out in the spirit among my people, saw in the distance approaching. I'll tell you what I saw, but let me know. I know that you're unlikely to see such a thing in real life, but it was made very plain. It was like an army that was approaching, and they were carrying a banner, and I want you to hear me. On the banner were flags from all nations. Heaven help us. And being that they did not understand our ways, the only way they felt secure is that they extinguished whatever it is that was strange to their ways. We knew we were not safe to remain where we were. And we were compelled to seek another place to call it home. I woke from that dream. And I realized just how blessed it must have been for those who remember the promises of old, that the Most High intends to do something to convert the hearts of all men, that they learn how to again love, trust, and cooperate, and how much they must have yearned for that preciousness of that day, and how much I saw that they were not willing to give up on that perfect hope, the preservation of the truth they knew, because they expected a day. They looked forward to a day with longing. A day, my brothers and sisters, when the world would be eradicated of all misguidance, all misunderstanding. I think about the scriptures at Isaiah 40. It says, comfort ye, O my people, ultimately that your warfare come to an end, that your sin might be forgiven, and that your warfare come to an end. What do you think it's talking about, my brothers and sisters? How about man's allegiances to all that have divided the people, contentious, without trust in one another? Contentious, my brothers and sisters, with different ideals and different understanding, having different sense of what is the eventuality on this earth. They've been at warfare with one another, following the sin of misallegiance, following the sin of trust in lies, following the sin, my brothers and sisters, of alternate expectations at the hands of those who are offering false promises, have more delighted in what they could do to continually exploit the souls of men and what's necessary to bring forth peace. I'll give you an example. Some of you know about this. King George, when he sent a fleet here to the quote-unquote Americas, found a tribe of natives, indigenous people, one particularly called Squanto, was called Squanto. Need to look up that story. Something that is related that King George said. He came over here and saw these people dwelling in peace. Many said even functioning with an air of nobility, and that they dwell well with the land, with their people, with their neighbors. King George didn't care anything about the peace these people had. He simply said, we're stronger than they. We can do with them whatever we will. They simply just saw something on the land, saw a land they wanted to claim just simply out of their avarice. Didn't care anything about the peace that was there. The imperialist agenda. To them, might made right. They failed to see that the earth belonged to Yah and the forms thereof, and if a people or dwelling could ever dwell and have a conscience toward peace, there should be something to preserve it rather than destroy it. I'm amazed, my brothers and sisters, many haven't understood that people looked at what was going on in Europe, the caste system that were there, and people only knew how to oppress one another. It's all they ever saw from their rulers. And rather than seeking the opportunity to dwell in peace, men gaining authority only saw peace and power impressing upon others. Various forms of persecution, trickery, warfare to destroy peace wherever they find it. What manner of spirit is that, my brothers and sisters? Like I said, I had a chance this morning, that particular time, to see the yearnings of a people who just simply wanted peace for themselves. And if they could have had peace with their neighbors, yes, peace with their neighbors as well. The people were approaching, but they knew, understood these people. They weren't about peace. Farthest thing from their minds. But I'm thankful for the experience in that. Sparing a lot of experience in both their joys and their grief. Experiencing their deliberation. Because our brothers and sisters, the promise the Most High has spoken of for people that love him is that when they find the hope of peace, well, let me see if I can explain this. And I tell you this, some forms of Orthodox Jewry, Judaism, if you will, to this very day, some believe in a resurrection, some do not. Be quite frank about it, we look in the scriptures and we find the testimony. Duels between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Most other things, some believe in resurrection, some not. Some, even today, say they believe in the coming of Shiloh, Messiah. And I understand they all say they believe in the law of Moses. And Moshe speaks of Shiloh. Some have different opinions about everything. Well, all I can say to you is that there are some who believe the coming of Shiloh, some who don't, even though it's scriptural. I see among those who say they believe, like I said, some who believe in a resurrection, some who don't. To many in what is traditional Judaism, they don't see, per se, as much a resurrection as they see perpetuity through their children. Look back and find out what I'm talking about. I personally do believe in the resurrection. And I personally believe that in that resurrection, as Messiah said, Abraham himself will be present. My brothers and sisters, who do you think it is that Abraham will call truly his children in that day? Wasn't the Most High, didn't the Most High say to him that those who walked after his perfect will, if he sought his perfect will, would be a blessing to all nations? Did he ever say imperfect ideas will ever be a blessing? I don't see that anywhere. But some say that seeking that perfection that people can't use. Maybe the doggone folks standing in the way of some seeking what is perfect. Maybe they're the obstacle that needs to be removed. But remember, I told you, the people that I spoke to have said and related this kind of thing were politicians willing to compromise that they have themselves exalted. Pastors, not concerned for the fullness of the will of Yah, that they themselves and their treachery be exalted. Who do you think, as I said before, my brothers and sisters, the Most High? Abraham. And Abraham believed in the coming of the Kurdi. It's written, if we read closely in Romans, we read also in Galatians 3. A few scriptures that relate that again and again. Well, let me bring attention to a few verses. Maybe they might help a little bit. I pray the Most High that they shall. Malachi. See, there's going to be a topic that I'm going to have to talk about more in the coming days. Malachi 1:1. The vision of the words of the Most High concerning Israel by Malachi. He said, I have loved you, says the Most High, but you say, in what way have you loved us? Loved us. So was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says the Most High, yet if I love Jacob, and I'm telling you what the original text would really say, it said, and Esau have I not favored, not so favored, not as he favored Jacob. And I want you to understand why it says this. And I've made his mountains waste. Talking about the time of Malachi he was speaking. I've made his mountains waste and his heritage for camps of shepherds in the wilderness. And if the Edomites say we are impoverished, Edomites, sons of Esau, say we are impoverished, let us return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Most High, Yah. They may build, may return to build, but I will demolish. And they should call them the border of wickedness. The people against whom the Most High is angry forever. Edom, my brothers and sisters, the sons of Esau. Edom and Esau. They became common people. Inherited, my brothers and sisters, along the lines for a time, the borders round about Israel were constant enemies against the safety and security of Israel as a nation. And the Most High, rather than Israel, suffer always their impending threat, demolished those nations. If Israel, and sometimes Israel did live upon those lands, Most High gave them peace upon those lands, and he oppressed all those who would deny that peace. Those of you know the truth, you know that Edom, Moab, were lands that sought against Israel becoming one after a constant sense of everlasting peace. Lands, my brothers and sisters, that, well, you know the story of Balaam and Balak. Well, Balak sought to employ the prophet Balaam to find some weakness, a chink in the armor of Israel, find something after which they might be tempted, strange gods, false standards among them, by which he might divide and therefore conquer the people, make them unworthy of attaining the land of promise. You know what I'm saying here again, my brothers and sisters, in that those who would attain the land of promise must be pure among them, pure unto the Most High. Scripture says no foreign ways, no strange ways, no obtuse ideals, if you will, not true to the Most High among them. That people, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says the Most High said he was sanctioned true to his name. And they attained to the promise of a land in which holiness must dwell, will share that light to a world. That was true, my brothers and sisters. Most High said to Israel that if they would be true to that, they would always be the head and not the tail. And that was said even during the time of Moshe. And it's promised, my brothers and sisters, that one day that day should surely occur. Look at these scriptures again, my brothers and sisters. Why do you say they were people against whom the Most High is angry forever? What scripture says? He will bless Israel, will be blessed. He will curse Israel, shall be cursed. What about there are those among us, my brothers and sisters, who are so concerned with their own selfishly ambitious authority, they desire that we not discern the wisdom that will make us whole? Shall they be blessed, my brothers and sisters? Shall they be called inheritors? No, my brothers and sisters, Most High has promised his people a place for peace. He said, your eyes shall see it, and you shall say, the Most High shall, what? Be magnified beyond the borders of Israel. What is he saying to his people? For this blessedness, a son would honor his father and a servant his master. He said, if I am a father, where is my honor? If you all say that you are true to me, why is it and how is it that men, after a multitude of contentions, defy giving the Most High what is from every soul should be honorable unto him, true unto him in everything? If I'm a master, if he is the totality of the conscience that you seek after, why are men not diligent to revere him totally? Hey, like I said before, without a point of reference, how can men be truly reverent? Says the Most High host to you, O priests. Oh, you got priests, teaching all kind of different doctrine today, saying it's somehow good in sight of the Most High and these lights and such, who despise his name. How about his absolute sovereign authority? Most High does not sign a contract that he did not write. If anything on it is changed, altered, taken away in any way, it's not honorable unto his name. Think about it. He said, you despise his name. How about his absolute authority? Everybody wants to declare his own way. If you say, what do we despise thy name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. You offer people, O ye priests, not true to the perfect, pure will of Yah. You say they can't use it. Who told you the Most High wants a polluted and corrupted altered thing? So you offer polluted bread upon my altar. How about you teach my people improperly? You don't lay my law to their hearts truthfully. You set your own law. Hey, the scripture says Messiah will not judge with his eyes to know what it is here. He knows it's injustice. It won't be his voice heard in the street. It'll be the voice of the Most High through him. But he won't seek to destroy anything that seeks toward what is ultimately seeks toward what is wisdom. A bruised reed he will not break, but he'll seek to heal. Children being for justice, not seeking to oppress. He'll be a haven for those, my brothers and sisters, who will turn from all this world of its lies and transgressions, its injustices, seeking peace where there is no peace. So you offer polluted bread upon my altar. You offer him a people wherein they have not been taught wisely. And if you say, what have we polluted? Polluted his altar. What is offered to him? Offer a polluted offering. You say the table, what the Most High would offer, with the purity of the Most High, his perfect word, you call that contemptible. You say if you offer a blind animal on the altar, is it not evil? If you don't teach all the people a pure, perfect way of peace, there is no peace. Should the Most High be pleased? He created this world for peace. All to be a habitation of his spirit. You teach them a lie, my brothers and sisters. If you offer the lame and the sick animal, is it not evil? Offer to your governor, would be pleased with your person? Oh, I'm looking at the time I got left. He says, and now pray. Is that one person pray? Or is it that all should pray, that all become wise, that we might have peace? You need to understand what the scripture means. Like I said, love your enemies. All, my brothers and sisters, after the orientations of men, have been enemies against the wisdom of Yah, deceived against the wisdom of Yah. Pray then, my brothers and sisters, that men no longer remain so, as they come to the knowledge of his wise. Pray the Most High that we offer his spirit. Touch a heart, that men's hearts might be changed, that many that are enemies now might become friends. So you're my friends if you do everything I command. Let us pray, my brothers and sisters, there be no more darkness, and that there become a revelation of light. So now pray for the Most High that he may be gracious to us, for this disaster has been brought by your means. Many seeing, my brothers and sisters, something less than what is righteous before Yah, and satisfied with it, and calling it to the glory of his name, and all these differences and contentions, absolutely not. Men have been neglectful. See, I will not regard your persons of the Most High. Who is there among you who will guard my doors
90 seconds.
Off on my altar for nothing? And who of you will guard my doors, how about this, against this nothingness, against this vanity? I have no pleasure in you, said the Most High. You will I accept an offering from your hand. The Most High wants something better, far better, my brothers and sisters, according to his will, that peace might reign, and that his people might rejoice in it, a people who would trust him. He said, from the rising sun to even to its going down, my name, how about his glory, his peace, to be great among all nations.
60 seconds.
One scripture says, it's come from the rising sun even to the going down thereof. Who understands, my brother and sister, how these scriptures speak about the one called the Purity, Shiloh? Isaiah 44:20-45:60, 46:13. But understand what these scriptures mean when it says the way of peace men have not known. Who understand what scriptures mean when it says, let the way of the King of the East be prepared. The way of peace that only comes, my brothers and sisters, when all the foolish misconceits and misallegiances of the nations are no more. He said, my name shall be great among all the nations. Ah, my brothers and sisters. Blessed are those who will hear and discern the words of prayer this night. Most High told me they're very precious, but only for the most humble soul. Again, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near, to his might, to his honor, his praise always. Hallelujah! Keep listening, my brothers and sisters. So much more to say concerning these things. Again, I thank you all for listening. I thank the Most High who touches the hearts.